We've been talking about being visible, and I saw an article about a grad student at Columbia University in Manhattan. And what caught my attention was the first text in the article said, "I just want to graduate." No, it said, "I just want to go to class." And I said, "He's at Columbia, why wouldn't he be able to go to class?" There's so much unrest about this Israel-Hamas deal that the students are trying to force you to take a side. And he said, "I'm not taking a side. I don't have an opinion about that." He said, "I do have an opinion, but it's about peace." But he's being forced, they're trying to force him. Another student is the one that said, "I just want to go to class. I just want to go to class." So they got their focus. They know their purpose. They know the reason why they're at Columbia University. And it's not to protest. It's to get their education. They paid the price to get that. Well, Jesus paid a price so that we could be saved. And we were saved for a reason. To take his place here in the earth. We were called in the same way he was called, he called us. The same way God called him, he called us. The same thing he was able to accomplish, we should be accomplishing because he called us. And we need to understand our purpose so that when the stuff comes and it came, more is coming. But when things happen that are contrary, we remember our purpose. The Bible talks about in First Chronicles 7 about the sons of Issachar. And it says the sons of Issachar were men who had an understanding. They didn't know the time they were in. They understood the times they were in, and they understood what they needed to do about it as Israelites. Not as the world, but as Israelites, the Bible said they knew what they had to do. My question is, do we know what we should be doing at the church? Do we understand the times? Yeah, I know everybody knows what's going on, but do we understand what's happening? It's not about taking sides. It's about stopping the progress of the church. Why do you say that? Because you have church members taking sides. That's why. And we get off of our purpose. Jesus said in John 17, you can go there, the King James Version. Can we read verse 14? "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So one of the first things we want to remember is that we're not of this world. So we shouldn't be moved by the things going on in this world. I pray, I always thought this was interesting. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evils." So Jesus is saying, "Father, I don't want them to go to heaven. They need to stay here to fix this. Just keep them from the evil in the world." Because evil is coming, because if evil knows if it can grip us, we won't do anything about it. And it can freely have its way. I say, not so. And this is how one of the ways Jesus said that we would be kept from the evil that's in the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Father, use your word to separate them so they're not part of that majority, that wild majority. Separate them by your truth. What truth? That Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That if you believe that revelation, your entire life should change. Your entire life should change. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. So Jesus said, for our sake, he separated himself. Why? So that we would know we could do it. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. So it's very important that we always hear and meditate on truth. What truth? The Bible. The Bible, not somebody's opinion, not someone's passionate plea. Not someone that's researched. God did all the research that we need. How are you going to research something that happened before anybody was? The origins of God. Who'd you talk to? I looked up sanctified. I may have told you last week. The Greek word that means hallowed, it means make holy, and it signifies setting apart for God. To make a person, I looked at this for about 20 minutes last night. One of the definitions of sanctify is to make a person or thing the opposite of common. Tell your neighbor, you're uncommon. And tell them, so am I. You're uncommon. We don't do common things. Things that are uncommon stand out. It's different. I wish we had one. But if there was a green chair in this room in the midst of this purpleness, wherever you put that green chair, you're going to see it. Because it's not common. It's uncommon. And God says, don't leave it with that thing, those things that are common. They're uncommon. Take them out. Set them by themselves. Why? They're uncommon. And we're uncommon. And we're supposed to be uncommon. That's why Malachi 3 in the New Life Version says, then you will again see, which means it was visible at one point. And because of the people's obedience, you didn't see it. But he's saying, then you will again see the difference, say difference, between those who are right and good and those who are sinful. You will see the difference, say difference, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. I remember when I was a youth director, and the youth would say to me, Mr. Carr, it's hard to be a Christian in school. I said, why is that? Why is it so hard? People tease you. Okay, what do you do about it? Well, I don't let them know I'm a Christian. I said, well, the secular term for that is closet Christian, and it's an oxymoron. I said, a servant is not greater than his Lord. And they mocked Jesus as he was dying for them. They mocked him as he was going through what he had to go through so we could have eternal life. And he didn't say, you know what? Forget all of you. Father, I'm not doing this. Take me back home. See ya. But he didn't do it. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his body was telling him that. He was feeling the weight. I was talking to someone once, had to have a medical procedure, and the closer it got to the procedure, the more frustrated they got because they started thinking about it. It's like you're going to be awake and feel the instruments going in your body. Jesus' flesh was telling him, you don't want to be crucified. And he said, Father, I don't want to do this, but it's not what I want, it's what you want. So it's okay to say, I don't want to do this, as long as your heart is purposed to do it. And you say so. There are things God tells me, like, I don't want to say that. But I told you I'd say whatever you told me to say and do whatever you tell me to do. And I wouldn't pull any punches, so you wouldn't have to pull me from the lineup. But the little words I find interesting. Like I said, then you will again see. Well, there's a popular phrase that says a picture is worth 1,000 words. It means what someone sees has a greater impact than what they hear. And one of the problems unbelievers have is that they hear about the church and about church life and about church people, but they don't see it. Last time I checked, and I haven't checked in about 6-7 months, the divorce rate among Christians was the same as unbelievers. Divorce rate. Even though Christians know Jesus said, I hate divorce. But people are getting divorced at the same rate as the world. The world says, you don't have to get married. You can live together. After all, you love each other. I'm not going to sing the song, What's Love Got to Do with It? But what's love got to do with it? What did God say? God talked about adultery and fornication, having sex outside of your marriage or before you get married. But the world says this is fine. I watch programs, and then I switch and watch the same program over. I record something, watch it over and over and over because it doesn't have any of that stuff in it. I'm not watching programs, cooking shows, Love It or List It. I'm not watching those shows, and they're featuring people who God says is abomination. I stopped watching. I used to like gangster programs. I did. I like gangster programs. I like The Godfather, the first two. But I stopped watching them once I started understanding who I was, because how can I cheer for the bad guy to kill someone? It's like, way to go, Michael, way to go, wipe them all out. Yeah, wipe them all. Not caring about their salvation. So I said, I can't watch those shows. I can't watch. Growing up, I used to like Billy the Kid. I'd have my gun set and I'd go. Then I realized I'm cheering for a crook. Same thing, you name it, Bonnie and Clyde. Oh, what a love story. They're crooks. They killed people. They robbed banks. Why are we identifying with it? Because it's good entertainment? If we think that's good entertainment, we might as well sit down and watch people slide down the road to hell. Because there's no difference. There's no difference. We have to, as the church, we have to be mindful of the picture we're painting concerning our relationship with Christ. Have to be mindful. I've learned and am still learning, not using an excuse, but I am human. I thought there's some things I wouldn't feel once I became pastor. I started feeling them more. Why is that? Because I'm pastor. And it would be headlines if I fall. But I had to realize that sometimes I don't have to have an opinion. Because if my opinion is going to cause strife, and all it is a preference, why? If it's something concerning the law, that's something different. But preference, I'm picking on the chairs again. If you like purple and I like green, pick one. I'm not going to look at green and pass out. I mean, at purple and pass out. Although the first chance we get to move this purple, we are. But we don't pass. We still sit on them. We don't say don't look at the chairs. They're still comfortable. They serve their purpose. It's a preference. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 17, this is in the Passion translation, the Apostle Paul said, don't continue. What does don't continue mean? But why would someone say don't continue? Because you're doing it. There's something that you're doing that's not right. That don't, so he's telling the church at Corinth, don't continue to team up with unbelievers in mismatched alliances, for what purpose, what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? Who can mingle light with darkness? You can't have light and darkness in the same place. Jesus said, no man can have two masters. So we can't mingle with the church in some settings and mingle with the world in others. Because you'll wind up loving one and hating the other. That's what Jesus said. What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common? Remember, we're uncommon. So what do we have in common with an unbeliever? What friendship does God's temple have with demons? For indeed, we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will make my home in them. So when we go places and hang out with places where we shouldn't, we're taking God with us. And walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For this reason, come out from among them and be thou separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that's unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. I'm going to share John 17 again, but I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. Jesus, again, speaking to the Father, said, now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing. He said, I'm not saying it privately or silently. I'm saying it so that everyone can hear what I'm saying. And I'm saying it so my people can experience my joy completed in them. Then talking about us, he says, I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it. Because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. Yes, there's going to be pressure for you to comply with the dictates of this world, with the practices of this world. But you don't have to join in. Jesus said he didn't join in. And we're made in that same image and likeness, so we don't have to join in. I remember, I'm going to wax political just for a moment, but I remember the whole Black Lives Matter deal, so to speak. And my first thought was, so they're going after the gangs. Because gangs kill more blacks than all the police force in the entire world. Every day. Every single day. But they weren't doing that. And it caused a rift in the church. It caused a rift. Well, actually, racism started to grow in the church. And it wasn't one-sided. Because folks were joining the world's ways. Not realizing that God sent us here to reconcile, not to divide. He sent us here to reconcile. And this church is an example because I have a twin brother that's a different complexion. And as I've shared previously, my entire life, there were times when I wanted to have a racist heart and couldn't. And I didn't understand why. And my friends didn't understand why. I wasn't born again, but God knew my future. He knew who he was going to place me with. And yes, when I was 15, my school bus was stoned by adults. I was at first class at Robert H. Goddard Junior High School 202 in Howard Beach, brand new junior high school. Our bus, everybody else's bus would be parked here. Ours would be down near the gate across the street by the other church. That's how far we would have to walk for our school bus. And in a minute, the bus is parked like this. The minute it turned the corner, it got stoned. Not by other children. By adults. And even though the newspapers had pictures of some of my friends that had cuts on their face and things from the glass, nobody did anything. Nobody did anything. And I wanted to hate, and I couldn't. I got even. We got even. We fought back on one Friday because we had had enough. And the headlines in the newspaper were angry blacks attack peaceful community. But I'll tell you something. Until I met Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, every single person that helped me get to where I am today was Caucasian. Peter Cordero gave me the first job. Metrotone air conditioning, radio, and TV. He taught me how to repair televisions and install air conditioners. When I left there, I went to Sunset of Queens, electrical parts store. From there, I went to the Bank of New York. Or at Sunset of Queens, it was Eddie Goldberg. The Bank of New York was the only one where they really didn't try and move me. I left there because they were holding me back. I was the only one that could prove stocks by 2 o'clock, but they wanted me to train someone, and then this person was going to be my supervisor. I trained them. I showed him everything that I knew. And I left and went somewhere else. That's your policy? Okay, I'll go somewhere else. I went to Philip Morris. Bob Weiss and George Bellano. And when I left Philip Morris, I went to KFC. Vince, what's his last name? Cogliano. I left KFC. Boy, you had a lot of jobs. Yeah, I did. And went to Secure Alarm Company, which is Richard Laub. All Caucasians, all helped me. And when I asked them why, they said, there's something different about you. And I said, what do you mean different? He said, it's not easy going, but it's easy going. You care about people. You care about my business. I said, yeah, I care about you. I don't care about your business. I'm not going to get paid at the end of this week. And everywhere I left, I didn't have an up yours attitude. I thank them. As pastor, I advise people, they tell me I'm being laid off. Well, make sure you go in and thank everybody for the years that they, yeah, but they're just phasing me out. You believe in one door closed, another door opens? Yes. Well, that door couldn't open if this one didn't close. So go there and thank them and pray a blessing on them. Tell them, be fruitful and multiply. Hire more employees. Thank you for the opportunities that you gave me. Talking about us, Jesus said, we are no more defined by this world than I am defined by the world. So Jesus didn't, the world couldn't put its definition on who Jesus is. And we don't have to live by the definition they try and put on us as to who we are. One of the things I don't do, just want to move this out of the way in. Here. One of the things, and everything's fine. I had, most of you know, I had double knee surgery, and my legs are recovering, so they can stand, I can stand longer than I have, but I'm patient. I need to be diligent. So you, when you think about it, you just... When you think about it, you just pray, Greg is diligent. You didn't like being next to the poinsettia. What was I saying? Ah, you weren't listening, huh? Think about this. What causes people to come together? You ever think about that? Love. But then people say they fall out of love, which is impossible. Say impossible? Yes. Jesus said love never, the Apostle Paul said love never fails, never fades out. Or comes to an end. So if you say I fell out of love, means you never loved in the first place. But you can't fall out of love. You have to admit you were in lust. That's different than love. Dr. Ed Cole gave what I thought was a good definition. He said love is doing for others at the expense of self because love wants to give. Lust is getting yours at the expense of others because lust wants to get. One of the first principles I learned. There's an English proverb, you probably heard it, that birds of a feather flock together. And you all know how I am. I wonder, what does that really mean? So I looked up, there's a source called Smart Vocabulary. And there's another Dictionary to Cambridge Dictionary. Cambridge Dictionary said it's people who have similar characteristics or interests. Listen to this. Especially ones of which you disapprove and who often spend time with each other. So it's very rare that someone will talk about our church and, yeah, those Christians, they're birds of a feather, they flock together. No, not unless it's something negative. Yeah, he's just like them because birds of a feather flock together. The smart vocabulary says to be cast in the same mold, to be of like mind, to be of the same mind, be on the same wavelength. Why would we want to do that with the world? The Bible has something to say about that. Romans 12:2 in the Passion Translation says, stop. Why does it say stop first? Why do you think it says stop? Yes. When you see a sign that says stop, it knows you're moving. And it's saying stop. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. And I already shared with you 2 Corinthians, where it said, come out from among you and be thou separate. But we need to understand that there can be a price to pay for hanging out with the world. Matthew 10, I'm going to read several verses. So don't worry, for your Father cares deeply about even the smallest detail of your life. Now listen to this, folks. If you openly and publicly acknowledge me, I will freely and openly acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. But if you publicly deny that you know me, I will also deny you before my Heavenly Father. So that means, folks, when we're at the judgment seat of Christ, and God and the devil's going to point out all the things we did wrong. And God is going to be there. What say you, Jesus? Jesus is going to say, I never knew them. I never knew them. I want him to know me. I don't want him to say to God, I never knew him. What are you talking about, son? He was the pastor at Redeeming Love Christian Center. You know, the other box, you hear the choir playing in their choir room. Father, I never knew him. Don't want those words said. He said, perhaps you think I've come to spread peace and calm over the earth, but my coming will bring conflict and division, not peace. Because of me, a son will turn against his father. Why, one will be born again, one won't. A daughter, her mother, and against her mother-in-law. That's why I don't like mother-in-law jokes. No, I'm serious. I stopped going to a store. Because every time I went in, the guy would tell mother-in-law jokes. And I told him I didn't like him, didn't appreciate him, and told him why. He continued to, and I told him, if you continue to do it, I'll go somewhere else. He didn't believe me. He did. I just walked. I put everything on the counter and I walked out and never went back. Within your own family, you will find enemies. Whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. Why do you think Jesus said that? How many of you agree that that sounds like a hard saying? I do. I think it's a hard saying. But you have to know why he said it. Why did Adam eat the fruit? He He loved his wife more than he loved God at that moment. And let me move over to the side for a minute. Talking mainly to the men. Don't buy into that nonsense that women shouldn't speak because, after all, Eve was deceived. So the woman is subject to deception. Let me tell you what the scripture says. It says Adam was not deceived. So if he was not deceived, that meant that he had to know everything that was going on. He wasn't deceived by what the devil said. So why not? Well, I'll say it this way. That same spirit prevails today, where husbands leave their wives out hanging out there. Adam was not deceived. But he got into allegiance with his wife, who got into allegiance with the serpent, because he valued that fellowship more than God. And he didn't have good teaching. He had the best teaching. Verse 38, whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his home, or he cannot be considered my disciple. All who seek to live apart from me will lose it all. Got to tell you something about that. Hopefully I can sit down and talk. Okay. My mother called me up one day. I wasn't born again. And she said, "Son, can you come by? I want to talk to you about something." And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking it's money. My brothers and sisters need something, you know, because that's who I was to my family. Now I'm not moving. I'll do this. And he said, he's leaning on the chair, I know. But I went over, I said, "Sure, mommy, I'll be over." And I came over and she sat down and she had that mommy look on her face. And I was like, what's the matter? What do you need? As I'm reaching to my wallet. She said, "Son, you need to give your life to Christ." I mean, she did just, with all the compassion she could muster up, I'd never seen that much compassion in her. Usually I'm like, And I said, "What happens if I don't?" She looked at me and she said, "Son, you'll lose everything." My attitude was, everything I got without God. And I started looking at her life and some other church people's life. And I looked at my mommy and I said, "I'll take my chances." And I walked out. I got up and left. And I was angry. I brought me all the way over here to tell me that. Within 2 or 3 years, lost my job. I got divorced. Didn't see my sons for almost 2 years. They were my world. Because it was that type of divorce. And it wasn't until after I accepted Christ, and was just thinking about my life, that I recalled that. And I said, I did. I lost everything. For me, it was a calling on my life. I didn't know it. But I knew that I had to come out from among the folks I was hanging out with and be separate. And I was in a tight-knit group. We were the Roosevelt Roadrunners. Period. And if you didn't know what that meant, if you messed with one of us, you found out. I had to come out from among them and be separate. I was wasting all my extra time playing basketball. I had to come out from among that and be separate. You've heard the story, championship game. I'm on a free throw line, getting ready to shoot free throw, and I'm stopping to look at the basketball, and I'm just standing like this. During the game. And I heard a whistle blow, and I heard timeout, and I'm like, looking like, what am I doing here? And the coach is like, Foots, what's the matter? And I'm like, I don't know, coach, but this is my last game. He said, your last game? What? It's that church stuff, isn't it? I looked at him, and I said, yeah, it is. And that was it. I walked out from among them. I got born again. I want to call them and talk to them. They'd find reasons to get off the phone with me, and God said, leave it alone. So I left it alone. I don't know what happened to them now. But I had to come up. I had to come out from among them and be separate. Why? If I stayed with them, no, I would have remained Foots in everybody's sight. They had to learn who Gregory is. So I had to become Gregory. Gregory was a child of God. Foots was not. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. These are rewards of coming out from among them. Whoever receives a prophet because he's God's messenger will share a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a good and godly man because he follows me will also share his reward. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of my humble disciples, I promise you, he will not go unrewarded. So folks, we have to understand, God expects us to be his visible presence on this earth. His visible presence. And to do that, anything that doesn't represent who God is, we have to come out from among them. Whatever, we have to come out from among them. I turned down sales commissions. Why? Because the place I was that needed protection was a peep show. Does anyone doesn't know what a peep show is? And the owner said, but I don't understand. Peep shows are legal in New York. They're not legal where I come from. And as a Christian, I will be praying that you go out of business and left $1,200 on the table, my commission. Daughter getting ready to go to college needed the money, but was unwilling to compromise. And stepping out from among them means I couldn't be silent about it. I had to call, speak to the president of the company who wanted to know the results of the lead, but this guy was ready to go. He was looking for me to send a crew there today. He said, so when are we starting? I said, we're not. What do you mean we're not? We're not starting that job. Why? What happened? I said, it's a peep show. Said, I don't care. I said, I can't do business with a peep show. After a few seconds of silence, he said, you don't have the right to put your religious beliefs on my company. I said to him, you're right. I apologize. But now I have to decide if I want to work for someone who would put their employees in this environment. See you tomorrow morning. I went into the office the next day, fully ready to leave. He said to me, I'm giving you this account that I want you to handle from now on. And I looked at it, it was Brooklyn Union Gas Company. It was the highest grossing account at the company. The highest. It paid over half the bills. And he said, I want you to handle it. You're the right guy for it. He said, they need to see you in 2 hours. I went over there, walked away with $3,300 commission. I got rewarded because I was able to step out and be separate. Didn't care what it costs, folks. And that's what we need to understand. We have to stop looking at consequences from the world. Our Father had his Son come here and tell us, in this world, you will have tribulations. Not you might have. You will have tribulations, but be not dismayed. I have overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm me. It's just like joy. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. God gave me all the protection I need. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. So we need to be more mindful as to our surroundings and who we're surrounded with or by, whatever is grammatically correct. Because Jesus said, Jesus, Father, let us know what he expects from us. Because everything he did for us, come out from among them and be separate. One more, I think there's one more. Go back, go by the plan notes that I didn't hardly use. John 17, verse 15. Remember Jesus said, as the Father sent him, so he sends us. Well, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? He sent us. As long as we're in the world, we are the light of the world. We have to be his visible. So let's be visible. Jesus said, we're like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Cannot be hidden. Idols will fall. I read something where it said the Leaning Tower of Pisa is in danger of falling all the way over. After all the years it's been there. We're not falling over. We're not even leaning over. We stand tall. We walk steady. Because we are children of the Most High God, and we won't be caught mingling with unbelievers. Father, I thank you. Give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for reminding us again of another facet of who we are in Christ. And we thank you that by your Holy Ghost, you'll speak to each one about associations. About their associations. And they will see the difference. And they'll know that they have to come out from among them. Because you cannot be all you can be in Christ if you're not surrounded by godly people. So I thank you, Father, for the word you shared and the individual revelation you're going to give to each one here by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say, come out from among them and be thou separate, says the Lord. Now, one of the things that's going to come up, you know, you have to, that includes childhood friends. You may have to step away from them. The Bible says, the Bible tells us, concerning believers, He said, if someone's a believer and they go back into fornication and slandering and all those things, he said, with such a one, don't even eat. I believe there's one exception to that. If Father tells you, take them to lunch, and this is what I want you to share with them, then you share. But if it's from God and you share, it will be fruit. And the other thing I want you to be aware of, I don't have time to go into it in depth. Jesus said, every tree is known by its fruit. If an apple tree is hanging out with a pear tree, people are going to look at it and think it's a pear tree. And if they're not knowledgeable about things, the fruit it produces will get thrown away because it's not what everybody else is doing. It's different. That's why I've never seen a mixed fruit orchard. It's an apple orchard. Or cherry picking, or pick blue, but I never saw it mushed all together. The fruit that people need to see in us is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that another day.